This is WPGW AM and FM, Portland, Indiana, PG14, J Country 101. It's time now for the live broadcast of the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service from the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church, brought to you by Kalp Pharmacy and Cooper Farms. And now to the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service.
I want to thank everyone for being with us today for this celebration of our Good Friday service for the Fort Recovery Ministerial Association. My name is Pastor Jim Stillwell. I'm the Associate Pastor for the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church and the Erastus United Methodist Church and the Coldwater United Methodist Church. And I work with Pastor Tom Bolton for that job. And it is a joy for us to be here this day to be able to celebrate this Good Friday with you. So welcome. Phyllis, if you will prepare our hearts for worship, please. If you would please rise as you are able and join with me in our call to worship. On this day, we gather to remember Jesus, our Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let us draw near in full assurance of God's endless love and mercy. We give thanks to our grace to Jesus Christ, who carries our sorrows, heals our wounds, and redeems us from sin and death. You will find in the hymnal or on the screen above my head, you will find the words to the opening hymn that we've chosen, which is Were You There? It's hymn number 288 in the United Methodist Hymnal. But the words are available above us. Join with me now in our opening prayer. Gracious God, on this day we gather to remember the suffering death of Jesus. He was despised and rejected, oppressed and afflicted, yet he was prepared to be wounded for our transgressions. We come overwhelmed by the death of Jesus' love for us and his commitment to defeat evil, even when it meant his own suffering and his own death. In his willingness to make us righteous, he poured himself out to death, even death on the cross. And so, in response to such love and sacrifice, we commit ourselves as his disciples to overcome evil with good, suffering with wholeness, and oppression with justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Robin?
Hi, I'm Pastor Robin Owen from Trinity Lutheran Church and the Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministry. And this year it is my privilege to be the president of the Fort Recovery Ministerial Association. What the Ministerial Association does in this community, first of all, is we gather together to worship on Good Friday and on our Thanksgiving service. And the offerings that we receive at those services go for two causes. One is that we provide a scholarship to a graduate of the Fort Recovery school system as they are pursuing education that will be of service to the community. So nursing, social work, ministry, those sorts of things. The second thing we do is we have a fund to work with then to meet emergency needs in this community. So both of those things depend on your generosity, and we're thankful for that. So we're going to collect an offering at this time. Let us pray. Lord, as today we reflect on the most precious gift that you gave us, death on a cross, we ask that you would receive our humble gifts, that in the mercy that you have shown us, we would show mercy and grace to others in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first scripture for today is Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 7. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people.
The readings that we will have today will be offered up by the pastors from the Ministerial Association, and we'll be looking at verses chapter 18 of John, verse 1, through chapter 19 of John, verse 42. It's an opportunity for you to reflect upon those words as they're being read. So I ask you and pray that you would just listen with your hearts and remember what Jesus has done for us. Brother Tom.
Good afternoon. My name's Tom Bolton. I'm the senior pastor, even though I'm the younger pastor in the Coldwater circuit of the United Methodist Churches, including the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church. The suffering of Jesus according to John's Gospel. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am," they stepped back and they fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So soldiers and their officer and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person to die for all the people.
Quentin Elsey, I'm the pastor of Christ Chapel. You may know it as the Red Door Church. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there, warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
Dennis Kelly at the Nazarene Church. In John chapter 18, verse 28, "Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jew did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, 'What charges are you bringing against this man?' And if he were not a criminal, they replied, 'We would not have handed him over to you.' Pilate said, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone.' The Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus has spoken, indicating the kind of death that he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summons Jesus, and asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?' Jesus asked, 'Or did others talk to you about me?' 'Am I a Jew?' Pilate replied. 'It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?' And Jesus said, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place.' 'You are a king then?' said Pilate. And Jesus answered, 'You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.' 'What is truth?' Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, 'I find no basis for the charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at a time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?' And they shouted back, 'No, not him. Give us Barabbas.' Now Barabbas has taken part in a rebellion."
Good afternoon. I'm not a pastor, but I'm Pastor Jim's wife. John 19 through 16. "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and striking him on the face. Pilate, 'Look, I am bringing him.' Pilate went out again and said to them, 'Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him.' So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, 'Here is the man.' When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourself and crucify him. I find no case against him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God.' Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, 'Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?' Jesus answered him, 'You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.' From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, 'If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor.' When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, 'Here is your king.' They cried out, 'Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!' Pilate asked them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but the emperor.' Then he handed him over to them to be crucified."
Dave Nicholson, minister at First Church of Christ. "So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother," and from that hour the disciple took her into his own home.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and their bodies removed. Then the soldier came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled, "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced."
I'm Pastor Jim Stillwell. I'm the associate pastor with the Coldwater Parish that serves Coldwater, Fort Recovery, and Erastus. And I'm reading from John 19, 38 through 42. The burial in Joseph's tomb. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in a place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So there they laid Jesus. Because of the Jews, preparation day for the tomb was nearby.
I'm still Pastor Tom Bolton.
Far strange to you, but every single word is true. And this is my simple song. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest along the way from the burdening of the noontide heat and the burden of the day.
Thank you, Tom. So here we are on Good Friday, gathering together to remember and to ponder over those scriptures that we just heard read to us and the music just played for us. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. And I ask, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Included in almost every major hymnal for the last 30 years is that song, Were You There? One of the most prominent and popular of an African-American spiritual genre. Yet, like most spirituals, the origin of that Were You There song are impossible to trace. They're born not from the pen of an individual, but out of a communal slave experience. These haunting words from the opening of our worship today ask us to look back and to remember the events that bring about our salvation. They remind us of this greater connection that we have with all of humanity. We are all children of God. We are all fallen from grace. And if it were not for the actions of Jesus Christ, we would all be lost. Every saint has a past. None of us is without sin. But every sinner has a future. There is more love in God than there is sin in us. And it is good for us to come together on this Good Friday to celebrate the life and the suffering and, yes, the death of our Lord. Because in our celebration, we come together in community, sharing our faith and sharing our hopes for the future when Christ will return and take away all the evil that has caused him such great pain. So I ask you on this Good Friday afternoon to take a moment to reflect on this. If you were present with the crowd when Jesus was crucified, what might have been going through your mind? Jesus was betrayed by one of his own, deserted by those closest to him. He was celebrated as the returning Messiah on one day and heard cries of crucify him a few short days later by that same crowd. And if we accept that Jesus is truly human and also truly divine, we must also believe in his humanness that he was experiencing a great roller coaster of emotions. But in his divineness, his divine nature, Jesus also must have felt the weight of abandonment by all those that he had come to offer salvation to. I have to wonder, is Good Friday a good name for this day? It's a strange way for us to view the last day of such a precious life. So we might reflect if we were there, what might we feel? Are we with those who followed Jesus into Jerusalem shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Will we be singing songs of praise as we walked up to the temple with our chosen lamb of the Passover? And would we too miss the point of seeing Jesus for who he really is? The Lamb of God, chosen to become the once and final sacrifice for all of humankind. If we were there, in the circle of the 12, sitting with Jesus as he washes our feet and as he breaks bread, reciting the new covenant, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Would we have understood his actions? Would we have understood that they were meant to prepare us for the events that were to come? Would we have wondered at what he was saying, or would we simply have looked at one another and kept silent for fear of seeming to be out of the loop of his understanding? I can't help but wonder at my understanding if I too had been there. Would I have been like Peter? Bold one moment to pull a sword on the temple troop who had come to arrest Jesus, and then frightened ever so much to deny the knowledge of Jesus as he was being tried and mocked by that same temple guard. Could I have been in the crowd when Pilate told us that he saw no reason to put this man to death? Would I have joined with the crowd and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Or would I have seen through those who had plotted against Jesus and said, "Didn't you hear? Even Pilate sees no crime in Jesus." I wonder at my own thoughts at the foot of the cross and look up into the faces that I saw the pain of Jesus and the sorrow there. What would I think about forgiving the thief beside him and turning over the care of his mother to one of his trusted friends, at those words of forgiveness to the ones who drove the nails into his hands and into his feet? How might we have responded to the darkness blotting out the sun as he draws his final breath, at his final words as he turns his spirit over to the Father, trusting in all that he has preached and taught and done, all in the name of grace and in forgiveness? It would seem now to the most casual observer here at this Good Friday service that as I propose more questions than I do observations here this day. But as I wrote these words, I felt guided by the Holy Spirit to give us all something to ponder on today. You see, we are blessed. We are blessed by having the rest of the story. Because in truth, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, we have been there. We have walked with Jesus as he healed the sick, given hope to the hopeless, caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear. We have been invited to break bread with him and to taste the wine that is his body and his blood. Every time we have reached out a hand to someone in need, we have touched the hand of our Lord. We were there. We were there. And yet I can't help but wonder, because of the state of the world today, if we were there, why did we not see? And that's why it's so important in our lives to come here today and take the time to reflect upon just what our Savior has done. Are any more words in history more splendid, writes Max Lucado, words that once shattering the victorious, "It is finished." Three words. The history long plan of redeeming man was finished. The message of God was finished. The day done work of Jesus, of man on this earth, was finished. The task of selecting ambassadors was finished. The job was finished. The song had been sung. The blood had been poured out. The sacrifice had been made. The sting of death had been removed. It was over. Was this a cry of defeat? Hardly. No, this was no cry of despair. It was a cry of completion, a cry of relief, a roar of fulfillment, and yes, a shout of victory. Praise God, and amen to that. My personal reflection on Jesus' final words causes me to think on the extent of what was accomplished that day. There is a far-reaching extent to this act of salvation. His words tell me of this act of forgiveness and grace goes beyond that what was the world had ever experienced by that time. Jesus was caused to suffer and then to be crucified. And when he succumbed to death, he was buried and later rose from the dead to be glorified. He was rose to sit at the right hand of the Father so that all of humankind would never have to face an eternal death, but instead an eternal life. This salvation is meant for all, the past and the future generations. All are to receive the gift of love and grace because that is what Jesus has done. So were you there when they crucified my Lord? Of course we were there. We who have opened our hearts to Christ have stood at the foot of the cross and found our salvation poured out upon a rocky hillside of Golgotha. For every soul that has found their salvation in the past 2,000 years have been there. Our stories may be of finding Jesus in a Sunday school or a church camp or at the baptismal font and later in life. But our true salvation has always been found at the foot of the cross of Jesus. So one final note on my reflection today. As this day comes to close and tomorrow dawns, I ask you to take the time to visit the cross of Jesus in your daily routine. It would be good for all of us to pray about what Jesus has done for us in our lives. It would be good to give God thanks for what God did in sacrifice for our eternal lives. And it is my prayer for each of you here today and those who are listening wherever you are, that your hearts would be open and that you would ask Jesus to enter in. Allow him to show you his hands and his feet, the wound in his side. Turn over to him all the burdens that you are facing today and accept the gift of salvation that is waiting for you there. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and kind Father God, we come to you with aching hearts and seeking to find your grace. We cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. My heart is open. My life is yours. Forgive me, Father, for not turning to you sooner. Accept my all. In Jesus' precious name, this we pray. Amen. This afternoon's closing hymn is found in the hymnal on page 297, where the words will be above me on the screen, beneath the cross of Jesus. I invite you to stand as you are able. Thank you. Blessed Jesus, we wait here by your tomb, carrying our grief, the grief of the betrayer, the grief of the denier, the grief of the crucifiers. We carry the grief of the lost, the heartbroken, and the bereaved. Upon you was laid all the grief of all of us. It is finished. And now, God of endings, God of darkness, and God of the tomb, God of the dark days and the great loss, be with us now as we wait with Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed the Full Recovery Community Good Friday service from the Full Recovery United Methodist Church. This broadcast made possible by Cooper Farms and by Kalp Pharmacy in Full Recovery, Ohio. This is WPGW AM and FM, Portland, Indiana, PG14, J Country 101.